Yeah, the tape.
Okay.
I was gonna say you look like you lost all the weight.
Yeah.
And so I think weight loss too.
Weight loss is great.
I think
so. Maybe I should just.
I'll take that as a perk of anything. I know.
Sorry, man.
Uh oh.
Welcome, everyone. I'd like to call to order the June 3rd. That's not right. That's all right. July, what are we, 7th?
July 8th.
Sorry, thank you. July 8th meeting of the Energy and Environment Committee, and ask the clerk to please call the roll when you have a moment.
Yes. Chairman Manager Breen.
Present.
Mary Murrow.
Here.
Al Meyer.
Here.
Peter Criswell is not going to be with us tonight. Laura Petit.
Here.
Chairman Donaldson.
Here.
Thank you.
You mean Al Bruno.
Al Bruno. Yeah. That was a flashback.
Yes, I know what you meant. That's I've been called worse by better.
Okay. And I'd like to start with a pledge to the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I want to
move up there. Why don't you two guys move
up? Yeah, come to the. Thank you. Because we have so much distance as it is.
You're welcome.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we did.
I also want to point out how much easier it is to synchronize the pledge when we're all in the same room.
Yeah, sounds better, right?
Yeah. Okay, and with that, I'd like to ask if everyone's had a chance to look at the minutes of, now this says the minutes for approval of June 3rd, and yes, we did meet on June 3rd. It's been a little confusing. So I'd like to call for a motion regarding the minutes.
I'll make a motion.
Sorry.
Oh, sorry, I didn't hear you. Was super.
Motion
second it.
Made second. By Legislator Waro, seconded by Legislator Bruno. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone not in favor? Anyone opposed? Okay. Minutes are approved for June 3rd, and I'll send them down this way for signature, and then we can bring them back. Thank you. All right. And the next item on the agenda is the UCRRA update, and I'd like to start by asking Chairman Donaldson, who's had some meetings to share that information
with
us.
Well, thank you, Madam, for the floor. I'm here to, I just handed them out to everybody. I delivered the results of the financial analysis of the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency's composting operation. And the analysis was done by the legislature's deputy clerk, our financial analyst, using information that we requested from the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency. The agency was fully cooperative and forthcoming with the information we requested, and this was a type of a targeted analysis. It's what we routinely use to evaluate programs and policies. And this is a tool we'll continue to use as oversight of county operations, contract agencies, county budgets to ensure tax dollars are used wisely. It is part of our checks and balances of the county government. We all have a job to do, and I'm not threatened when someone else is going to do a parallel audit. I welcome that input and information. But in this case, the legislature has been sensitive to the current lawsuit against the RRA while continuing ongoing oversight of the operation through this committee mostly. When the legislature received complaints regarding the composting program, I consulted with Matt Ajo, along with Tracy Bartels and attorney Chris Rigucci, our legislative counsel, to put together some questions and inquiries to get to the crux of whatever the problems there may be. We had a frank discussion with the RRA staff, the board representatives, where we discussed, they write out and discussed the allegations and concerns that cut to the matter of what the complaints were. Now, as I pointed out, the RRA was totally cooperative. An analyst asked me to be able to call directly Tim to ask questions. They opened that right up, and Amber made phone calls because she wanted to make sure she understood certain things. So the staff basically was directed by me to confirm the facts and examine financial records for this targeted report. And as I said, they were totally cooperative. And these type of evaluations may undercover issues that can be addressed directly by the agency or corrected through legislative policy. In this case, our detailed analysis confirmed that the RRA to develop a clear policy regarding the sale of compost to employees and others. They had a written, unwritten, first-come, first-served policy that worked when there was enough compost to meet that demand. But that changed when the demand outweighed the supply. It is clear that one employee was buying a disproportionate amount of the compost. The analyst does show, and analyst does show, that he was paying the same as any other customer. So there was nothing financial in that that we had to worry about. In this case, we want to see that the RRA board, an independent authority, created New York State law, established an appropriate fair policy. And of course, we'll be monitoring whatever that progress is, as we do in our checks and balances of the agencies and the executive, for that matter. They've assured us that they were working on a policy to deal with that issue. The analysis further notes that the RRA's composting program was initially focused on setting up the operations, obtaining and diverting raw materials, and creating markets for the finished product. The agency's plan to expand the program to make it more profitable were delayed due to COVID. Although odor complaints were not part of the analysis, it has been part of the greater discussion. There is a letter from the RRA detailing, which I think you were sent electronically, detailing their ongoing efforts to mitigate and manage this problem that includes upgrades to the facility's timing and frequency of variation, increased filter layers, plans to purchase a Orion weather station to maintain database weather conditions for an analysis of odor complaints. The agency is working on mitigation and have made some strides, but it's not been enough, according to many of us. And with COVID all but behind us, they need to make this a priority, and I believe they have. They're going to be looking at other places on how they may be able to do that. Now, the board chair is here tonight, along with, I think you're the treasurer, right, John?
Yes.
The treasurer of the agency. And they're here to talk about operations, including the education about the waste diversion and the composting, the continuing electronics and household hazardous waste drop-off, looking at alternative waste treatment technologies and finding long-term solutions for our waste. And these are all critical discussions Ulster County needs to address. And what I'm saying at this point, good, respectful working relationships go a very long way in collaborating and delivering quality, cost-effective programs and services Ulster County residents need and deserve. The easiest and the fastest way for us to move forward on these issues is to work as a team. The RRA and this committee, myself and others, the executive, we need to work as a team to make sure that any of these items that need to be mitigated get mitigated in the best way possible. If anybody has any questions in reference to anything that I handed out, the information, as I pointed out, Amber is the one. She's a certified public accountant, and she's actually done audits, and she's done forensic audits, for that matter. But this was not an audit because of the method which we gathered the information in. It was more of an analysis.
I mean, I'm glad you brought up the, you know, the concern about making sure we work collaboratively, because I have, you know, my background is in solid waste. I've done many videos, and I did one recently about recycling, and we had a whole pile of materials that everyone thinks is recyclable, and, you know, half of them weren't. When the video came out, the recycling coordinator from the Resource Recovery Agency sent one of the participants a FaceTime message saying that she recently learned about the video that she did with Joe Maloney and Laura Petit. And if you ever really want to get more perspective, not political, and go to the source, you should stop by our facility because I'm the director of sustainability. You will get very different messages from politicians. So I'm still trying to figure out how we're supposed to work cooperatively when our Facebook pages and our LinkedIn, you know, I guess they call it trolling, you know, and there's comments like that made. You know, I agree with you. I would like to work with them too, but I've just lost a lot of respect for this individual now, who I had a lot of respect for. You know, she's a very bright young lady. I'm not a politician. I'm a recycling educator by trade.
Well, the only thing I'd comment on that would be that I'm assuming that they do videos also to deal with this type of thing, I'm assuming. And I don't know what your video had. I didn't see it. So
we're only supposed to use their videos? And
no, I mean, I think they're the ones that are doing the work, right? I mean, directly. I mean, I think your helping them in a video would make sense.
No, I certainly plan. SOPIS, I've been working very closely with, too, and we will be putting out more videos.
Okay.
Yeah. And there's nothing politically motivated about them. It's purely educational.
I agree with you.
I would suggest maybe you could call up and speak with Angelina and find out.
Catherine, I can't hear you.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I would suggest that Laura might want to call up Angelina and speak with her and find out what it was in the video. There must have been something in there that she thought maybe it was some wish cycling or something like that. I don't know myself because I haven't seen the video either.
Mm-hmm.
And I am not an expert on recycling. I'm always calling her. I've been saying, is such and such recyclable? And she gives me an answer, yes or no, or if there's other things related to it. So I would just call her up and talk to her.
But I, you know, and here's another example. When we met with you, Tracy and I met with the Resource Recovery Agency to have some discussion. We had some frank discussions, and we point-blank asked. And one of the things, because people aren't talking back and forth, actually, instead of talking at each other, instead of talking with each other and trying to work as a team, the Resource Recovery Agency was under the understanding, and according to their attorney, they're saying that they are, you know, they were feeling that the legislature, myself, and the executive were looking to take over the Resource Recovery Agency to control it. And my response to them at that point would be, I would rather stick needles in my eyes. Because that is the last thing, and I'm sure that Pat would feel the same way. The last thing he wants to do, or I want to do, is be doing that. But that's the problem with rumors and talking past people or at them rather than with them. And I think we really need to start working on that. And that's been somewhat of a problem on both sides in this case. And I really want to make that, and I know Manna does, because, you know, he feels it very important, because in order for us to get more towards that zero waste that we so desire, is to work as a team.
Legislator
Warren.
I think we're kind of missing the point on the whole thing, though, because I don't think that Laura's video was trying to replace anybody or trying to do anything else. I just think that maybe Angelina should have reached out to Laura if she felt that something was inappropriate.
Yeah, that could be done too.
Rather than kind of bashing it, making it sound like she wasn't doing anything good. And I have done a training with, I've done a training in Socrates with them, and it was very good. But I think both sides have to really kind of reach out to each other and be understanding. And if there is something, say that, not throw it out to the public. It's kind of, you know.
Right.
And turning things to be political is kind of, to me, inappropriate for somebody to be.
Right.
You
know, well,
like accusing you of being political when Laura's been in this for years and her heart is in it. It's really not trying to promote herself.
And likewise, there's a letter to the editor that again mentioned politics when it came to the composting and you know, Manna Jo Green. So, and Manna is, you know, maybe you're in politics now, but I learned everything I know from Manna, and she's brilliant, and, you know, she's always been in the forefront of all these the programs coming through, and tire legislation, and cleaning the tire dump up in Saugerties, which wasn't her hometown. So it's, and we have reached out. I mean, we've been asking for input on the zero waste implementation plan. You know, I know folks were busy getting out of the things done, but
I think I kind of want to reiterate what Mary said and what Laura said too. Just like calling her up after the fact is, you know, hindsight's 20/20. The reality of it is it shouldn't have happened in the first place, point blank. Social media and Facebook is a great tool, but it's also a great weapon. And for an agency to politicize it and use it as a weapon, it's uncalled for. It's extremely unprofessional.
I would point out that we have been bashed on Facebook times.
I'm not saying
you
have. That's the one thing I'm going to complain about right now. The only thing is I've had enough of this Facebook stuff, and as far as I'm concerned, it should stop.
That's my point. I want to make it completely. It's got to stop on all angles. I agree with you, but I think that kind of a comment from one professional to another really is uncalled for, I think.
But I also feel like educating the public should come from wherever it comes from, as long as it's having good information. And part of that training, we learned also different municipalities and have different places to get rid, you know, to sell the recycling materials. So some things you may not be really recycling at the agency may be able to be recycled someplace else. Because aren't the caps done? Mm-hmm. There's a couple of things I think that you guys haven't done, but there's other places actually in our county that do that. So there's not, as rapidly as the recycling changes, sometimes the information you have today is different tomorrow. And you know that too, what you can sell and what you can't sell. The market changes all the time.
So I want to repeat what I said at the recent board meeting. I cited the Saugerties tire pile as an example of the agency having a history, a legacy of solving very difficult problems by using collaborative, respectful communication. And I think that's what's going to get us through this glitch, you know, or a series of glitches that need to be worked out. And I'm very sincere about that. I worked for the agency for 10 and a half years. I care about the RRA. Laura does too. So please, if there are issues, let's have a facilitated conversation and try to work through them. I have a few things I want to bring up that are partly embodied in the solid waste plan, solid waste contract, excuse me. When I came to the agency at the last meeting, I spoke with the executive director about providing this committee with the same monthly report minus anything that is confidential or inappropriate, you know, but the staff already put together an excellent report, And if the members of the committee can have it ahead of time, then they, before this energy and environment meeting, then they have a chance to formulate questions and keep a healthy dialogue going. So I just want to remind Chairwoman and Treasurer to request that starting next month, we follow that protocol. Yes, it is available, but for five of us to have to dig for it rather than, you know, simply sending the report over. The other one, because I know I forgot to bring it. I saved the reports for Laura because she can't get to the meetings, and I try to get to the meetings because I do care.
Yeah, this one I didn't send it until today, and I knew you probably had a copy because you came to the meeting. But we can send it at the same time we get it for
yes.
our meeting, so that way you'll get it probably a week and a half before your meeting. So I can send it to Juan, and she can distribute it to everybody.
I think that's a good routine.
I think it's on the website, but I'm not sure. I was thinking of sending just a link to the website, but I'm not sure. But it's not that hard just to forward what we get.
That would be great.
What everybody in the board gets. So that's simple.
And the other thing Tim mentioned was that one of the other requirements is that the county see the budget. It says July, but he mentioned that every year he forwards it to the county executive in August. And the request is that it also come to the committee. And then, and let's see. I have a note to myself, feasibility, and I don't remember what that meant.
Well, that's also as a point of information, you know, we get the same thing from the community college. The budget comes to us, and, you know, we run through that budget. So, you know, that's basically our job as a checks and balance type of thing. I'm sure the executive would rather put the budget out without us having to go through it, but...
We hold the first drinks.
And then the other thing I just want to ask is if there is any update on the policy regarding distribution of compost or other materials.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, the problem that exacerbated the compost operation was we lost two of our biggest suppliers, and we had a shortage. We couldn't catch up as far as the shortage was concerned. The two that we lost was Westchester County went into its own business of composting, and Univex, which is one of their biggest suppliers, we lost both those items, and as a result, we're fighting from behind to catch up to our customers. I just wanted you to know that.
But do you have, you are working towards another policy, though? You had the first come, first serve policy.
Yeah, no question. Yes.
We're working on it. We haven't completed.
Yeah, no, I can imagine. It's a little difficult. I mean,
we will be making an announcement, probably, first of all, about the availability and the smell.
Can I ask Charlie a question real quick? Charlie, you lost the two biggest suppliers, which was hard. What happened? Why? Just curious.
They went into their own business. Westchester County went into their own composting business. And as a result, no longer sent their food waste to us. And Univex, which is one of their biggest recycling operations in Westchester County, did the same thing. So we lost two major suppliers.
So they're making
but don't we have 50 or 60,000 tons available here? In Ulster County, with all the people producing green material?
Well, apparently,
COVID.
We have a COVID, yeah.
A lot of restaurants are not producing, and who knows what schools and hospitals and prisons and the other institutions are doing.
You expect it to back up?
We turned off the law, so now those people don't have to do anything. So my guess is we're shipping it all to Seneca Meadows with a tipping fee of $105. Whereas if they brought a ton of food waste directly to us, it would be $20 tipping fee,
mm-hmm.
and it would go into the compost.
Makes sense, doesn't it?
So
it makes a lot of sense.
Just
there's other composting operations in Ulster County.
There are, we're not the only ones. You're right. There's
at least five of them
I know of. So the food producers don't have to bring it to us. They have a choice. There are some people who will come and get it from the restaurants or the other institutions and things. So that there's many choices.
Is the state law on hold too?
State law is in effect. No, goes in effect in January.
So flow control doesn't pertain to food waste?
No, that's one of the fallacies of our flow control law.
Doesn't it?
Recycling and composting does not apply. And that should be corrected.
That's where your revenue generates.
Exactly. That's one of the things that we should be talking about called correcting.
But the new law says within 25 miles of something.
The state law says that. The county law is inclusive because we did an analysis and saw that the only area where the 25 miles would apply, because we have other composting facilities, is the Route 28 corridor. And the folks out there would like to work together. Nick, and I'm just going to, because your department will be hosting the environmental outreach manager, and we're very grateful that that position is being advertised. If anyone knows of a qualified person, and it's right on the website. I Googled it and it came up right away. And the description is clear and appropriate, but it's hard for me to keep a train of thought. I've got a lot going on right now. But Mary, go ahead, and then it'll come back to me.
Just to do a little history for Al about the recycling and why it wasn't included, because we have to go back to the state, because originally the recycling was separate, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So we couldn't just decide to do that.
Okay. Well, that was before my time, so.
Right, that's why.
Thank you. I have one more quick question.
Wait, hold on. Before we change, I just want to say that is, however, covered by the Recycling Oversight Committee. What is mandatory and what's not, and we have recently appointed a couple people to fill vacancies, so that it will be an ongoing discussion.
So, real quick question. This is more of an understanding on my part, so, and I apologize if I should already know this. But so, when these compost producers bring it to you, there's a $20 tipping fee. So, you charge them to take the compost.
The food waste.
Mm-hmm. Which
right.
You're going to turn into mm-hmm. compost.
Our food waste.
So, your food waste,
is
right?
Made up
I misspoke. I'm
two
sorry.
Things.
So, the food waste, you charge for them to bring it to you to dump. And then you guys turn it into compost, correct?
Right, okay. There's two components to make compost. One is the food waste, and the other is brush and wood chips. We turn all the brush into
stuff,
wood
yeah.
chips, and then the combination of the two.
So,
and it's about 50-50 mix. But we put the wood chips on the bottom and on the top, because it works better that way.
So I guess the point to my question is, the reason we don't have the compost is because we didn't have the demand, or we didn't have
the food waste.
We didn't have enough food waste. I want to make sure I get my terminology.
Exactly.
So the food waste, so I'm going to be point blank, so why are we charging people to bring food waste that we're going to turn into compost and make money on? Why not offer it to them? You bring your food waste, it won't cost you. We can take it off the scale.
We have to handle it, Al.
Can you make enough on the compost to cover that is what I'm trying to say.
If we reach it at some point in time, if we reach that point, yes, that's a good point. However, we're handling it, and we're spending a great deal of time handling it and processing it.
Right.
And there is a lot of processing that goes into compost.
And I understand. I'm just saying you're selling it, too. So I'm just saying, what's the balance point?
$20 cubic feet is a great savings. Because right now, they're probably paying $105 because we're sending it to the landfill.
Oh, okay.
You understand where my thought process was going there?
Yeah, if it goes to Seneca Meadows, it's $105 a ton.
But they are addressing that because they're only charging $20 for the food waste. Right. As opposed to 105.
Right. So that's
and
that.
It's a huge financial incentive.
Yeah. At which point does it get to be
separate?
Well, but if you have a 100-yard pile, you only end up with 30 yards at the very end. So you also, by volume, don't have a lot to sell when you're done. It's good practice to charge.
That's what
right,
we're
getting at.
We haven't arrived there yet.
We're not there. I can tell you, when we first started out, we had compost, and we were trying to sell it at, like $30 a ton. And it wasn't selling particularly well. So we decided to have a sale. So we reduced the price. And my gosh, we sold it all. The next year, people want to know, is it still on sale?
Of course.
No, we decided to put the price back up, and we still sold out. So
it's
don't know when you first start a program.
Right. Well, I appreciate it.
And we've managed to increase our permit with the DEC to manufacture more over the past, I don't know how many years. We started in 2012. So in three steps, we've gotten up to where we're allowed to do 5,000 tons a year.
We're
nowhere near that this year because of the situation that's happened.
Okay, appreciate it. Thank you.
Chairman Green, can I just clarify one other thing about the composting? When we talk about the amount of food waste that Ulster County produces, all of that's not going into composting either. First of all, when a store like Hannaford's takes food off the shelf that they're not going to sell anymore, the first place it goes is to programs like the one Laura was running, where it's going to kitchens and food pantries and things like that. A great deal of it goes to farmers before it goes to composting. So when you talk about that whole amount of food waste, you know, it's not all going to composting.
Yeah, when you read through the law, you see there's steps. Like, at first it should go to people.
So you're the bottom of the list.
Then it could go to animals, and then it could come to some compost.
Well, doesn't that make you feel good? You're lower than animals.
Hey,
I'm just kidding.
I'm a gardener. I'm a happy. I love the compost. It's incredible.
I'm just kidding.
I wish I had a load to put into my asparagus patch right now, and I don't happen to have a load of it. But that's okay.
I want to bring up one thing just for us to think about, not resolve tonight, and it goes back to the issue of the fact that we have a law. We, at the request of the Department of Environment that was very active in the resilience program and kind of got behind and lost an employee, which is about to be replaced, but there is a loose end, and I want to acknowledge that, in that we had a very collaborative process to develop the law, and we had hoped, it seemed to those of us working on it, which included several people from the agency, that the Department of Health might be the enforcer. And then at that time, the executive director felt that the agency should not enforce because they're in the composting business and it might look like they were not being impartial. And so we tried various different suggestions and ultimately left it to the county executive to make that determination appropriately because it's operations. I think the request from Department of Environment was fair for the extension, but when we get this program rolled out, that's going to be 10,000 tons a year. Mm-hmm. That's what the estimate was. And it won't all go to the agency, but there'll be a lot more available. I was speaking with the deputy before about trying to resolve that. And I, as I said, I don't think we have to do it tonight, because I think that with an additional staff person doing outreach, we're very quickly going to get everybody that's supposed to be composting on board. I don't anticipate a lot of resistance because we did such an inclusive process, but I do want to just point out that that's something we have to resolve, because ultimately there are going to be some laggards in social diffusion theory, the people that resist after everybody else's.
Manor, while we're on this subject,
yes,
a question for you. Why was the law postponed? Why was the effective date of the law postponed to the first of the year?
Nick, do you want to jump into the conversation? I mean, I can give my perspective, but it was the request was from your department, Evelyn?
Yeah, there were a few factors. So one, as Nana mentioned, was that the staff person that the Environment Department hired started, I think, the week we had our first COVID case, and found that she could not continue with family responsibilities and so on. And so her work never got up and running. The hoped-for role of the health department in enforcement, they were absolutely snowed with COVID, and they said, we cannot even think about this right now. Don't even ask us.
Okay.
And then, you know, we're relying on the state's lists of who is going to be the generators of different types. The state came out with an entirely new list this year because they reworked all the methodology. And so the folks that we had previously informed, here's where you're going to be in the tiers, that's all jumbled and needs a new analysis. And we still have a number of issues about implementation and roles to work out. So as a combination of all those factors, we were not ready to
thank you.
Now, one other aspect of this is that we have someone who we brought on who's going to be doing enforcement. Now, this person, and if the Environment Department has an enforcement person, they would be basically issuing a ticket to somebody not doing what they're supposed to be doing. The problem is, next we need an administrative law judge to hand out the fine or whatever goes with it. You can't just have somebody handing out the ticket. You got to have somebody issuing the fine and collecting money.
We have that in our recycling law, because it was brought up before, mm-hmm. and I think we passed it in 2014, that we do have a hearing examiner. And I think at the time it was Lou Klein. I don't know if he's still an attorney, though.
Well, we have to figure that out.
But we never had any tickets.
I mentioned it to David when we met him earlier in the hall.
Okay.
We talked about it. But somehow we have to figure that out so we can get this person.
And I think a joint meeting of the stakeholders, we can figure this out. And I do want to acknowledge we passed the law knowing that that issue hadn't been fully resolved. And so it's sort of coming back to bite us, but we'll figure it out. As long as we can have this kind of discourse, I'm really very convinced. And I want to move on, unless there are other comments, to ask Nick from the I want to ask Nick to talk about this excellent report, and then ask Dave if there's anything from the Environmental Management Council.
Oh, we didn't do the UCRA update yet.
Probably, I don't know.
Okay. I usually think of Tim doing that, so I apologize if there is an update, particularly about the zero waste and household hazardous waste. There's some good news to share.
I did bring some copies of the
so we have to
pass them around.
You and I can do the resolution too.
There should be enough there.
Okay.
I can guess he's going in this direction.
Okay, I think we gave everybody a copy of this on oath.
Did we? Okay, yeah. Okay, great. Well, give one back to me because I just gave it.
She got it.
Okay, thank you, Wendy.
I'm okay.
It's just the announcement of the household hazardous waste is going to be Saturday, August 21st. This will be the first time we're going to be having it at the Aqua facility right there on Clearwater Road as you go into where the New Paltz station is. Ours is the first one on the right. Back further is the town on the same road. So there's all the rules here and how much you can bring. Only 225 pounds or 25 gallons of liquid waste. And so forth.
Oh,
and
sorry.
Lots of good rules about what not to do. That movement can be one. The other thing we're doing is the e-waste, we only collect on Saturdays now, between 8 and 2 on Saturdays, right there by the office when you come into the Flatbush transfer station. So it's good. People have been coming in on Saturdays, bringing their televisions and stuff like that. And so that's pretty active, but only Saturdays.
Anything
so
else?
If you don't want this, put it up someplace where other people see it, so they'll know what's
going on. We'll put it in the hallway, in our.
Because
if you have a link, or like a poster link that you put on social media, that's huge.
And this was emailed to our to all legislators.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay, great. So everybody at least it gets around. Yeah. I think I will just next time I'm at my town hall, I will put mine on the wall there. The other thing I just wanted to mention, it was pretty cool. If you looked at what we handed out at the last board meeting, was everything that our recycling gals did. And what's really cool is on the buses, they've got a photograph of the bus with this big sign plastered on the side of the bus talking about rethink waste and the fact that we're going to have seminars related to zero waste and making Ulster County green. And there's like,
I just walked that around.
Yeah, right. But it's really cool because the pictures are great of the buses.
Oh, great.
She also sent us a list of the classes if you're on the mailing list from the RRA,
yep.
Which I forwarded to all legislators on it.
Right. Yeah, they're doing a bunch of classes, a lot of things. And
just pass it on.
I had a League of Women Voters meeting recently, and many of those people are involved in places too. I don't know if you knew the history, but a lot of the League of Women Voter people started out working on solid waste and recycling. Just historically, they were concerned about it, and that's a lot that got things driven in this county to deal effectively with solid waste.
That's how you got started, right, Mana?
Well, okay. Here we are.
It's a long story.
Right.
Thank you very much. And, you know, we appreciate the good news. And just want to reiterate to have the monthly reports, et cetera. And I think we're all on the same page. And I did want to move on, if we can now, to the zero waste resolution, the annual report and the highlights from that, because without being reminded, the Department of Environment has really met a lot of the goals of Climate Smart, et cetera. So, Nick, if you wanted to touch on that.
My name is Nick Vasa from the Department of the Environment. I haven't met everybody in person. It's good to be here. This report is an annual requirement per Resolution 451 of 2019 that asks the Department of the Environment to make a report on activities around zero waste resolution and provide recommendations on those activities. So we selected five areas where we're doing work within the department and with other groups, and I'll go through them one by one, answer any questions. The Climate Smart Communities recertification happened in June of this year. Among the several different action areas, one is focused on waste. Climate Smart Materials Management is the wording. So we completed two of those actions from that area, actually three. And we have in our plans additional work on those actions for future recertifications in the program. One of our goals as a department is to achieve a gold level certification in the Climate Smart Communities program, which hasn't yet been defined by the state, but we're targeting completion of these materials management actions to be able to meet that standard when it is set. Second topic is the Zero Waste Implementation Plan Working Group. Europa McGovern from our office has been attending weekly meetings for the group and providing support as able. And our recommendation here is to continue our participation with the group and to develop the zero waste implementation plan. Third topic is the Food Waste and Prevention and Recovery Act, which we've discussed already. We have some recommendations here in the report, but we're also working on a listing of roles and responsibilities for implementation and enforcement of the Act as we see them based on the work that we've done so far. And that's something we can share with the group going forward. Number four, the annual waste and recycling report. This is a report that the Department of Public Works prepares for UCRA, delivering to UCRA each year. And we assist with that process, working with Department of Public Works staff to ensure that report is completed and meets the standards set. And the last item is the New York State Food Scrap Recycling Law. This is something that, as was mentioned, is going into effect on January 1st of next year. And as part of implementation for the county's law, we are following the methodology that they're using to regulate businesses and potentially use or continue to use the work and the methodology that they've put in place to align with the implementation that we're doing. So with that,
any questions for Nick?
No, I thought it was a great report. It was interesting.
I also want to mention that I mentioned earlier that we don't have a 25-mile restriction. Our law is for the entire county, all the businesses and organizations, all the large food waste generators. But also, we include schools and hospitals, which is, those are considerable generators. And the reason that we did was in the development process for the law, we did some research and found out that many schools and hospitals in particularly the Northeast are participating and without problem. So a county can be more either restrictive or inclusive than the state, and we did a lot of legal research to be sure that was the case. Okay, and Dave Haldeman has been very patient, and we'd like to ask the EMC if there's to catch us up on what you're up to and if there's anything we can do to support the work of the EMC.
Maybe at the end of that question, but I'll try to be brief. There's a couple things that you might want to be aware of. Number one, we were caught off guard with the announcement that meetings were now open. And so we'd already scheduled our meeting, and we were trying to figure out, can we hold a hybrid meeting with some people in present at a certain location and so on, video and all that stuff. I contacted the county attorney's office, and basically, and you can pass this on to your towns and so forth, but the basic rule is, of course, all meetings of any committees like ourselves need to be open to the public. They need to be well publicized in advance. There has to be a physical place where outside persons could participate if they'd like to. The second thing is, and this was really helpful to us, in that we are allowed, if it's a video conference, not teleconferencing, but if it is on video, that counts for quorum and that counts for voting of any committee. That's directly from the attorney. So that was really helpful. Some of us travel over an hour to get to SUNY Ulster each way. From an environmental standpoint, that's sort of lousy. And so we did hold this hybrid meeting the last time using a little cell phone, right? Didn't you use a cell phone technique?
It was a conference room at SUNY Ulster, right, that had the capability for video conferencing.
And it worked well. We had a bunch of people online. We had three or four people in present there, and we were able to proceed. But it was really important for us to get that information, and we passed that out to all of our committees that we know of. But in your own towns, they perhaps need to know that information as well.
If I can just clarify one moment, I'm not an attorney, and this decision is made way over my grade level. But in our instance, we have legislative rules as well. So our rules for this meeting and legislative subcommittees like Climate Smart pertain. So until those are changed, or if we still have to meet this way.
I'll just pass that on.
Would you be so kind as to send that? I'd like to, you know, include that in the minutes, that information.
That would be great.
If I can find it, if I can't, I'm sure Nick has it someplace.
Okay.
Could you do that? We'll have Nick send it. He's got it available. He knows where it's at. It's a nice little paragraph right from the attorney's office. Second thing is that there was some question about the difference between a conservation advisory board versus the Environmental Management Council or the conservation committee, whatever's in your town. And the only differences are of course, it has to be, if it becomes a board, it has to be through the town board, has to be appointed. That the only real difference is that if your town has an up-to-date open space plan, then that conservation board automatically, not at the request of the planning board or the town board or anything, but it automatically becomes a participant in the evaluation of what's going to happen in the open space. That's the difference. Even at that point, it's whatever conclusion the conservation board comes to is still advisory. It's not, they don't have independent anything. But that's the big difference there, and that's the only difference that I could tell in the presentation that was given to us by Julie Noble. I'm going to jump just to the Esopus and the creek there. Just so you know, at our next meeting, which is the last Wednesday of August, I am in contact with a large filtration firm that has been filtering water out of the Delaware for the last 15 plus years, supplies 30,000 customers in Bucks and Montgomery County with fresh water, and takes the silt and organic material that they filter and hauls it to local farms and pays them. My brother gets $275 per load.
Wow.
I think. So he gets a couple loads a week. That certainly helps. And it helps his fields. And so it seems to be a win-win thing. But because of so much controversy over this, I've really reached out to them. They've got a lot of experience. They know how to filter water out of the Delaware and make it potable and use the residual to good effect.
When is this meeting? Is it
It'll be the last Wednesday evening. It'll be both in person and virtual.
And how do we get the? I'd like to check it out.
We'll make sure that Fawn gets the Zoom connections through the Department of Environment.
And I believe it's posted on our calendar.
It is, okay.
But I'll double check that. But I'll be happy to forward.
The Zoom info. That's awesome.
Yeah, the Zoom info.
Are you Dave?
I am Dave. Yes.
Oh, I'm Kathy Bynkatherine. I get your emails.
Okay.
So I just thank you. There's another guy named Paul Rubin.
Mm-hmm.
He's a hydrogeologist, as am I. And he lives over in Lineback. And he wrote a very interesting letter about the problem in the Esophis. And I think that you would be very interested in that letter. And I will forward a copy of it to you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Because again, it's along the same line of a remediation, a solution to the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Something that's got to be done. We're just not going to ignore this. This is crazy.
And Catherine, would you also send that to Fawn for the committee? Because I think we're all very interested, and if there's a solution, a workable solution at hand, I think we'd like to know.
The solutions we could get, the better.
Right.
The odds of remediating this as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. It has to stop.
Okay, I can take care of that. It's a very long letter.
That's all right.
Thank you. And the only other thing I would mention is that it has been evident in the council, in the Environmental Council, for some time that we have no budget or any. The Department of the Environment has been very helpful in that regard when we needed to tap into things. But two things become readily apparent. One is the whole video. If we're going to do this hybrid thing, then having a really viable video camera. The last time, we could sort of see the people sitting in the room somewhere back there as sort of silhouettes, and we could sort of hear them on and off. It wasn't the best, and so it's just a consideration. We can work with the Department of the Environment, but maybe a consideration there. If we came to you with a minimal amount of something, that maybe you could help us there. The other thing I just mentioned, and it's probably our problem, but it is a problem, and that is having a member of the committee be a secretary. We've been through this multiple times. It's time consuming for them. It is difficult for those persons to. We end up twisting arms and begging and etc. To get someone to take that responsibility, and so that's another area that. I mean, my ideal thought is some college student who is in environmental science who needs a little extra money for that 22 hours that we actually meet and whatever time it takes to put together a summation of the meeting. But I don't have any figures yet on that, and I will come back to you at a future date for something like that. Or we can work somehow maybe with the DOA, but that is an issue.
Have you tried taking turns? I mean, I've been on committees like that too. And each month, especially if you have 12 members, I mean, it's only once. No takers, huh?
Not as far.
Can you, I know some of the committees that I'm on within the town, you can substitute with a recording. simply, you know, like we're doing here now, and it just gets transcribed to a scripture.
So you do record it, right?
And we record it. I mean, to fulfill the legal, I'm not a reason. You would be the legal guy to tell us on that, but that would suffice, you know, most committee requirements. I don't have to.
Who does the transcribing? That's the question.
We just keep the recording on the disc.
It's only good for 4 months, though, isn't it?
It's more for a reference. State records?
And that doesn't serve as your minutes.
I'm not sure that meets.
No, that would have to come out. That would, yeah. you would actually have to transcribe that then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our clerk does that.
So anyway, I just bring that up as a concern. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Very, very good reports. I want to try and wrap things up. I do want to mention there's an effort to green the Ulster County Fair. It used to be one of the greenest fairs on the East Coast, literally. We were written up. And we're trying to bring that back, and it's been a wonderful collaborative process that has included all the major stakeholders. We're going to have a climate smart sustainability table. There'll be some extension of the Solarize Ulster program that Nick is coordinating, and we're going to try to bring in green vendors. So if anybody knows of a vendor that would like to have a table there, they would have to pay the fare, but we're doing conscious outreach to green businesses. So think about if you know of anyone to recommend. It's August 3rd through 8th, and we are also seeking volunteers to staff that table, and we'll have outdoor demonstrations, you know, self-teaching. You walk by, you see an interesting cartoon, and you get a little information. So that's coming up. And then I do want to say that I really appreciate the cooperation amongst the department, the legislature, and UCRA with the weekly zero waste plan. It's a slow, long, hard project, but every week we make progress, and I think when we're done, we will have a zero waste plan that is a model for other communities. And then we kind of touched on the Ashokan turbid water releases with this filtration system that Dave mentioned. Anything more on that right now as a topic? Champlain Hudson Power Express, you know, my day job is for Clearwater, and we've been tracking it, and there are pros and cons. Not sure where that's going to end up, but the way it affects Ulster County is that we have communities that take our drinking water and are very concerned about sediment resuspension when the cable is laid, if it's going to be laid. And so that we keep it on the agenda and keep tracking.
There's got to be like a study, engineering study of what it actually is being done. I mean, I could see the concern, but it's probably very minimal, probably very short term. And
yep.
That's one of those like straw hat arguments. I mean, or for lack of better terms.
Well, if people
is it really a concern, or is it really going to affect a lot of people, or is it just
yes.
a temporary, quick?
And I think that is the best answer is a real feasibility study. That's actually been Clearwater's position
as
well.
Find out what it's going to do first.
Yeah. So that because you know when people have wells in their backyard. That water is not filtered, but all the public water supplies are. Yeah. Okay.
Lana,
yes, please.
I just wanted to add on that. You know,
that project is part of a much broader effort to bring more transmission from upstate down here, which we desperately need. We met last month, was it, Nick, with another outfit that is has proposed building transmission lines along the thruway right-of-way.
Yes.
Which strikes me as a lower impact way to go about it if they can make it work. So I think another important piece of this is to really advocate around what makes for a good transmission project and what criteria we're using, because we do desperately need that transmission.
Absolutely. And as some of you know, that go ahead.
No, I was just pushing my glasses back.
There is a 7-county energy working group that's trying to create a regional renewable energy implementation plan. And we have a grid that was designed to be one way. Large source of generation, large need, and one unidirectional. As we move to solar and wind or tidal or hydro, whatever, and low impact hydro, we'll have a two-way grid, and both at the transmission level and at the distribution level. And so that's a major challenge, and we don't have a lot of time to solve it. But I do believe that NYSERDA has recently brought forward a regional clean energy hubs program, and we're going to try to coordinate all that effort for the 7 counties. So I want to encourage you to go back to your municipalities and ask them to take advantage of Scenic Hudson has a municipal solar siting toolkit. And if every municipality looks at their own town or city to see where they could beneficially host, not that the town itself or the city would host it, but they would give a green light. They would say, this is a good location. And in talking with Marbletown, we were trying to get a volunteer, and they said, you know, we have a lot of open space that is not, you know, we want to preserve our farmland and our forests, but we have potential open space, but we don't have the grid connection. And if we get stuck in we don't have the grid connection, we're not going to meet the goals of CLCPA. We've got to figure out how to bring the grid to where the good areas for generation are. So if anyone knows of a municipality that wants to try to define that for their community, I've been sort of unofficially facilitating that energy working group. And I think that we're going to go back to NYSERDA and say, you want the communities to get your programs out there. We want to do this mapping. Can we make that part of what the hub is doing? And I believe the Hudson Valley Regional Council, Mid-Hudson Regional Sustainability Coalition, will be the applicant, the major applicant. That seems to make sense. So I know that wasn't on the agenda, but we can consider it new business. And there is an open seat on the energy and, or rather, the Climate Smart Committee. So if anybody can encourage a colleague to sign up, we would really appreciate it. And want to encourage Legislator Petit to convene the Recycling Oversight Committee.
Yes, I just sent an email to you.
Okay.
So
any other closing comments or remarks? And I really want to appreciate you know, the conversation tonight. I think it helped move us forward.
Sir, we just wanted to address quickly the legal question that was raised about video conferencing, because our rules of order does address that. I just didn't want to cite it without having it in front of me. And it was amended by resolution number 293 of December 4th, 2012. Right now it's limited to two instances. It says attendance via video conference will be limited to two non-consecutive instances per calendar year per legislator. And there are other rules that we have to follow protocol for that, and the clerk needs to be involved. There needs to be written advance notice. But this is something that if this committee is interested in, would have to be amended through the Laws and Rules Committee. And we could amend the rules to allow for more usage of this tool because it is under the section 103C of the Public Officers Law. So I can pull that, you guys don't have to. I can pull that if you guys want, and you can take a look.
And that particular rule only applies to legislative sessions.
This is Rule 10, and that is for monthly and special meetings.
Yeah, of the full legislature. The full body.
Yes.
Not for committees.
Not for committees.
Not for standing committees.
So this is the only thing that we had video conferencing, but happy to look into that if you guys are interested.
Yeah, I just want to remind folks that one of the leading climate solution organizations is Drawdown, and they consider telecommuting not only a climate solution, but a very high-ranked climate solution. And I must say, you know, I think I bought gasoline twice last year. So it really does make a difference.
There's smog lift.
There are environmental implications. And we've all gotten through the last year and a half learning how to telecommute. So to whatever degree it makes sense.
But I think we also lost a lot of relationship and being able to work together. And, you know, when you're actually sitting next to somebody, you can have a good conversation. When you have the void in between you, you don't have a connection, or you don't even really maybe even care because you haven't... You don't know the person as a person, so I think we lost, so that's true, but I think we lost a lot of how we can communicate and really be successful in implementing things we want to implement by personal interaction. Because I know for me that really this past year has been, I know a lot of the things we've accomplished, like the plastic bags and the styrene ban, and that was from personal meetings, and Tracy and I met in the elevator. Our first conversation, we started talking about it, and then it built from there. And you just don't get that. You just don't get that through Zoom.
What about the implementation plan? I mean, are we going to have that done by the end of the year?
Yes. Yeah. And with the zero waste implementation plan, the intention is to. And by the way, we're going to be working on C&D.
Okay.
The intention is to bring the first draft to the agency, because the agency is, you know, they're the primary solid waste authority. It's their responsibility. So making sure that the zero waste plan aligns with their local solid waste plan and their goals and so forth. So that's the first step. And then the second step, and the Recycling Oversight Committee, because that's where this originated. And then we will hold a series of stakeholder meetings when it is refined and there's a high level of consensus. Then it'll come to the legislature and it'll have the regular public hearings, the formal public hearings. But there'll be a lot of input, and there is a lot of research from people that are very dedicated that are working on this right now. What we're trying to do is get everything, taking the work of the Recycling Oversight Committee and the conversations and research that have gone on since, and do that by material. Once we have all the materials well in hand in terms of the amount and the various recommendations, how it's going to get paid for, what the timeline for implementation, et cetera, then we will, there's a lot of sort of introductory information and then essentially conclusions and recommendations. And so everybody's taking a different section using the research that's already been done and trying to put it into a kind of standard format. Europa has been crunching the numbers, and then the rest of us are each picking our favorite ways to divert and trying to figure out what we want as a group, as an informal committee, to recommend. But it won't go to the public per se until it's gone through the agency and taken their input and the Recycling Oversight Committee. And with that, you've all been very patient.
I'd like to make a motion we adjourn.
Seconded by Legislator Waro. Moved by Legislator Bruno. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? Okay. Motion carries. This meeting is adjourned.
Yay. It's my first one.